Yo, 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 what is up, ladies and gentlemen? Happy Money Monday. Welcome to another episode of WinJet Radio presented by WinJet Studios. I'm your host for today, Chris Ross. And this week, what big week, huge week. WinJet 2.0 is now live, so make sure you go check that out. We will be sending off links to all the members of the community to log into our beautiful site from Zach and Jason from Market House. They've now completed everything. We have a little couple more tweaks and peaks that we need to make some adjustments, but other than that, we're ready to rock and roll, guys. So it's really exciting, and also really exciting week because we are talking about the art of questioning or the art of the interview. And it's one of my favorite topics, considering that ties back into what I used to do for a living, right? I remember those days back in, feels like forever ago, a couple lifetimes. The art of questioning, here's the thing about questioning and getting into the core and the root and the nucleus of an individual or a subject is the first step's first step. You have to be calm. You have to feel like you're giving off the impression like you've been there before. It's not an illusion. You have to make them feel comfortable. So I'm going to go through a lot of different areas of opportunity for those out there, this new phenomenon we call podcasting or interviewing. Just because you buy a microphone and you start a podcasting show doesn't make you a great interview host, right? Okay. Well, we've all been there, and you have to go through it to develop enough confidence and have the skill set on driving conversations of where you need to extract information for your listeners to consume to potentially change their lives. Yes, yes. So we're going to break us all down this week. We had a phenomenal week last week talking about imposter syndrome. I kicked it off on Monday. Russ Johns had a phenomenal one on Tuesday. You had Alpha Hippie, Angelo Cisco on Wednesday. And I really liked his because it talked a lot about his background, obviously Chicago and the Bulls, Michael Jordan, and different having different people that are having problems with imposter syndrome, and they're trying to take on too much. Jason and Zach, of course, they do what they do. They just dropped the mic on a Thursday, and it had a lot of great feedback. So I do appreciate it. I hope everyone's enjoying the new type of format within WinJet Studios and what we have going on. Some other exciting news for next week. We're going to wait for next week. What's up, Horace? My man. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the things that we've been working on behind the scenes. WinJet Music, WinJet TV, publications. A lot of crazy stuff is popping off right now. And it's perfect timing. Press releases are coming out. But let's dive right into today's topic and not really go off in left field because you know me with a microphone. I'll sit here and talk for days, my friends. All right, let's break down questioning. Questioning, you have to have the end in mind when you're, well, before you even invite someone onto your show. And I'm going to break down some of the things that I do to prepare myself for interviews. Before a guest even comes on the show, I make sure it aligns with the core message and what I'm trying to deliver to my audience. They might show up for me, but they stay for the guest and they stay for the questioning. All right. So just because we're in a world right now where anyone can purchase a microphone and start a show doesn't make them interesting enough to have your guests keep coming back after another week, and really want to provide feedback. And you have to open up that door and ask your guest to submit feedback in to really understand what they're looking for from you. The next question that most people typically ask, what makes a great host? One, a gracious host. First step is to create a safe environment for the other individual to feel comfortable. If the other individual is comfortable, there's a good chance they're going to be open to sharing more information with you. Yes, yes. You follow me? Chat box. I'm going to do my best to keep my eye on that. I didn't do a great job last week. I was looking down there to the left corner, but I got you up here today. But the first step to creating that safe environment is asking them what they would like to speak about and speak on. Tell them what you are looking for and being open, saying, listen, Jack, I had some time to prepare myself for today's, you know, interview. And one of the things that I really would like to talk about is this, bop, bop, bop. And I've stated right up front, Carolyn's online right now. She's actually doing the show, not show notes, what is it called? The little buttons, whatever we're doing for the live. But she hears me all the time when they pop on. When they pop on, I tell them, listen, I had a lot of good time breaking down some areas of opportunity. Here's what I would like to discuss. Anything you do have coming up, would you like me to bring up and drive the conversation to? And also, Is there anything off limits? I asked that question on purpose because if you don't want to drive a conversation where they don't want to talk about it, then you're going to put yourself in a really tough situation, especially if it's a live show. And luckily for myself, I have, I guess, developed enough confidence to be able to deal with uncomfortable conversations. But most people, they're not really, I guess you say, skilled enough to be able to drive a conversation and not pigeonhole themselves when they're asking questions. Just one thing that I do not like to talk about, and I don't like to say a lot, is I. Only when I'm saying I is I'm being very specific about a certain detail that we can elicit and then also drive the conversation. When people feel guarded, there is conversations. Well, I will tell you this. There's three separate conversations. You're going to hear me a couple of different times in this today's live talk about this. There's a point of view conversation that goes on in people's brain. What should have happened, should have, could have, would have. There's an emotional conversation, people being caught up, getting caught up into a certain emotion. And an egotistical, that's my favorite. People are very egotistical, and there's a certain thing called a driver personality, an amiable personality. There's a lot of stuff that comes into this to where you're able to create an environment for them to feel safe so you don't pigeonhole yourself or put yourself in a situation where they're going to be guarded and they're not going to be open to talk about certain things. If you've been listening to my show, The Win-Win Effect, you can definitely see in these conversations where pretty much every person that comes on, and this is one of my goals that I set out for myself, they go, no one's ever asked me that question before. Has anyone ever heard that in my show? It's because I'm driving a conversation where people tend to shy away from because they don't like the unexpected pauses on a show. I like to use my silences to be able to drive them and be open to sharing more information. All right. So I'm going to break all this down today. The next step of being able to create the environment for them to feel safe is calibrate your tone depending on whom you're interviewing and what type of interview you are actually doing. Is it a live show? Is it recorded? Is it video? Is it just audio? I tend to find that audio recordings, especially if you can't see them, you're actually putting yourself in a really good situation. It's a lot more intimate. Think about dating. All right. Most of you out there are dating in the world and you going from text message to actually talking on the phone. That's like the next step in a part of the relationship. Yes, yes. Would everyone agree? So it's the same way, but especially doing video, that's the expert level, right? So you have to break this down and understanding and calibrating your tone to match the type of interview and the type of personality that you're about to interview. You have to be very empathetic. That comes very easy for people like myself because I'm an empath. However, for those who aren't, I guess, in tune to that way of thinking and a way of feeling, I guess you would say, in some cases, they kind of overlook certain types of answers from their guests. Have you ever been on an interview when someone just went down a laundry list of questions? Show of hands. Can't see you. Trick. Well, I have. And it really, I don't know, pushes me off when they don't rebuttal anything that I say. They just move on to the next question. I look at every guest that comes onto my show as a way of me being able to tap into their audience as well once the show comes out. Because if they have a good time and it's all about the experience of the person coming on the show, they're going to be more open to sharing that conversations and really sharing that conversation. And I've gotten to the point, I'm very intentional and I'm very freaking deliberate. I do not invite people to come onto the show just because they come onto the show. I look for the areas of opportunity, short term and then long term. Here's my point. Sometimes the people that I'm trying to get to come onto the show and how I attract them, I might bring their name up in an episode that they know and they'll be more open to sharing that conversation with them. And the next thing you know, it makes it a little bit easier. Now they're approaching me. Does that make sense? Yes, yes. So let's break this down. Explaining what I can do in a body of questionings before it happens. And what I mean by that is that way you're not just going on and on and on about a certain topic. You need to learn how to steer away from conversations and stay away from asking questions that only get a yes or no answer. That pigeonholes you. Stay away from all these questions. You can get them to say a small little mini tie down. Would you say that that would be a XYZ type of whatever situation? And they'll be like, yes, okay, well, elaborate on that. Share a little bit more if you can. See what I just did there. I'm having them open up. It's a step. You can ask maybe some rhetorical questions. What is a rhetorical question you don't really need an answer for? You already know the answer, so you're already moving on to the next side. Using your silences can be a very powerful tool. However, if you don't know how to use that dead air to benefit you and to benefit your listeners, because it's not about you, it's about your listeners. Yes, yes. So if it's about your listeners, you're asking a question and you can say it like this. And I just saw Nina. What's up, Nina? I'm like, Nina, the purpose of me asking these questions have zero to do with really me and actually with this conversation. I know, but this is for the listeners. It's not what we say, it's what they hear. If you can explain it in a certain way to reach my listeners for having them to grasp that concept, would you mind elaborating a little further? What just happened? You see how it took the ego and took the emotions out of that? Yes, yes. Now they're open and you're just going to drop information. That's an opportunity for them, for you to display their talents and skills on their topic. If you're only using yes or they're going yes or no, then that can be a disaster and it can lead to an inexperienced interviewer being very uncomfortable in awkward conversations. And it's almost at a point where you... Carolyn's about to laugh her ass off. And I know I'm saying a bad word, but it's funny. I was on an interview once and I shared this with Carolyn. The person kept asking questions and they were so awful that I felt that I needed to save my own brand. And I kicked it up a couple notches and helped them out. And I started leading them. And that's okay if you're skilled enough to do that. And that was not me trying to be offensive. They get off the call. I'm like, wow, that was the best interview I've ever had. But they don't realize that I was teeing them up on their questions because I was a step ahead. But obviously, it takes a little bit more of emotional intelligence and understanding the different types of framework and body of questions to get yourself there. We all start at one, zero. Boop. We all start at zero. We all end up somewhere else, some higher, some lower. But to really get the information out for your listeners, you have to be skilled enough to think about in your mind, okay, I'm going to ask this one question, but what's my next set frame of questioning to get to where I got to go to? You can't just go from zero to 100. I'm never going to ask a question that I don't have a follow-up and knowing what they said in previous interviews. That is key. Write this down. How many of you have YouTube? Everybody. People that come onto your show, there's a good chance they have some content on YouTube. Yes, yes. Go to their Instagram. That's where everyone lives. Let's be honest. Instagram, right? Everyone lives on Instagram. And what do they put on Instagram? They put their highlight reels. Their highlight reels are clips of them being on shows. What do they like to talk about? But if they're on a YouTube clip and they're on another interview with another host, and the host asks one question and they don't ask the what, when, why, how question at the end of it to get to the core and the root of what they're talking about, and you notice that you tell from the body language, they wanted to stay on that one topic, but the host just went on. It's like, yo, hey man, hey Jack, I noticed that when you were on, not say the show, I noticed you were on a previous interview. And one thing that I love to do when I'm preparing for my interviews is I like to take the time to see what are some of the things you like to speak about? What's your vibe? What type of energy level is that? How can it be recyclable? And then I also notice with some of the answers that you do come back with, and I also noticed that a lack of understanding of the curiosity side of them and not asking the what, when, why, how question. You mentioned this in this one statement pertaining to this one topic. They asked this one question. You said this. Here's my follow-up question to this. Bop, bop, bop. What did I just do there? That's going to get them to look at me a little differently. Yes, yes. Why? Because I put in the extra time and effort to really get to know them before I had the interview. That's going to also increase rapport. So especially when the other host or the interview failed to pull out that information in various topics, will help your audience and shine a light on their talents and skills. That's what it's all about. Shining a light on their talents and skills. I'm not a get at you host. Gotcha. No, I'm just not that guy. Because it's not going to, I don't know. I'm not saying that I don't like confrontational conversations. I'm open to them. But I would much rather have a good time on the show because I like to smile, I like to laugh. And so do my guest. And so do also my listeners. But nothing is worse than having a viewer watch them go down that whole laundry list of questions and they're asking, what is your favorite book? That, I don't know, what are some pivotal moments in your career? Who gives a shit? No one can. They've already heard that story. How could you ask the questions to get what you're looking for from this guest? That's what they want to talk about. There is not one person in this world does not like to talk about themselves. And if they say they don't like to talk about themselves, they're lying and they wouldn't be on podcast shows. Make sense? Understand this. The more deeper that you can go in that conversation pertaining to a certain topic that they want to talk about is only going to help you in long term when it gets to the end of the conversation and do a bunch of loopbacks. Is anyone ever watch comedy, stand-up comedy? It's one of my favorite things to do. It's one of my releases in this world is to watch stand-up comedy. Love stand-up comedy. I watched stand-up comedy when I was young, and I remember when it was Eddie Murphy, and I used to get in trouble for watching it or listen to it. Remember the cassette tapes? I'm showing my age right now. But the cassette tapes, I used to listen to them. Richard Pryor, man, Red Fox. Oh, my gosh. I learned how to do masterful loopbacks. You ever notice when you get them, you watch a stand-up comedian, they talk about one joke at the beginning, they're watching from the audience what type of energy level and where does the joke hit on one side of the room? They'll drop an anchor, go back to the other one, and then do a loop back to elicit the same emotion. And what is the emotions that we're looking for? Positive emotions. We're only accepting positive vibes. Yes, yes. Then we can recycle. Or a way to springboard the conversation to go a whole different area of opportunity for yourself. Contrary to proper belief, the most important part of the interview is preparing for it. And I'm not saying you spend 4 hours, you're going to ruin yourself. Take 15 minutes out your day. If you knew that interview is coming up, 15 minutes. That's the only thing I'm doing for 15 minutes is look a little bit more in depth about this person. Maybe you can utilize your team if you have one. Find something about this person that they haven't talked about that much. And then spend the time preparing for it. One thing you should never say while in an interview, and I'm going to say it again, is a lot of eyes. Unless you have something specific to bring up that's going to trigger them to respond. Not just anyone can be a good interviewer. It takes a real skill and a dedication to do it extremely well. Good interviewers also study up on their subject's background, may even have a staff, just mentioned, with these resources. But here's what I want to bring up with this and make sure that I'm spending the time. Don't just go through their highlight reels. Go through some areas of opportunity pertaining to what your audience is. What is your target audience? Who listens to your show? Remember the feedback. Just did a huge loop back on purpose just for you to stand so you can see it. I mentioned at the beginning of this, feedback. Opening up feedback from your listeners. If you know what they're looking for, you know they're going to stay. So talk to them. You might be having a conversation with another individual, but also there's someone eavesdropping on that conversation. How can you make them part of the conversation without them being there? It's a key point. So loopbacks are important because you want to make sure they're grasping the concept and grasping the information. And there's different, you can do it by segments, whatever you want to do in the show. If you can do that, if you're a little bit more of advanced in studying the research of the person, and if you have knowledge on that particular topic, then you can expand on it a little bit more. Yes, yes? This is why you don't see a lot of salespeople come on my show, because not a lot of salespeople sell the way that I sell, morally and ethically, what's best for the buyer, or I guess in that situation, short-term and then long-term. Does that make sense? Yes, yes. Because I train a different, totally different way than most people out there. But understanding the moment of truth, you really see a professional interviewer following a script or referring to notes. And here's what I want to bring up. A better, more casual approach is to stay in the moment, present, and allow talk to flow naturally. Conversations are better than interviews. Interviews are freaking boring, okay? They're boring. Has anyone ever done an interview for a magazine? They are so freaking boring. Like, what's your favorite book? What are some pivotal moments in your career? What made you want to do this? Who gives a shit, right? Talk to them. Make it a conversation. And that is almost the best secret, is to take your notes and throw them away. I'm dyslexic. Most people know this about my story. I'm dyslexic. So me trying to read something, even off the screen, I'm going to be like, I don't know. I have to be able to put myself in the right frame of mind to be able to serve on the optimal level. So when you get reluctant people talking about, you know, taking the focus off of them, I'm going to come into a different angle when they don't see me coming. And I'm going to start with a lot of leading questions and leading with statements instead of those questions. And I'm going to get them to end up bringing it up before I bring it up. I know this might be a little bit more difficult for people to understand, but that's why I mentioned about studying stand-up comedians. The fewer questions are the better. When you hear, oh my gosh, I heard this question one day, I almost lost my shit. I almost burst into confetti. Like, seriously. It's like, what's your definition of success? You know how many times I've heard this question? For God's sake, ask something that people want to talk about. Who cares? Everyone's gonna have a different answer. How can you be more entertaining, though? If I want to ask a definition of success, say, share yours first. Here's how I feel about the way that I feel about me being successful or someone else being successful. And then explaining, moving the conversation. What's your input on this? You have anything you want to share? Well, how do you feel about this? You see how I asked that question, but I framed it. So write this down. Anchoring and framing are the two most masterful skills you can ever learn when it comes to communication. Here's types of frames. Pre-frame, how it's going to go. There's no surprises. Now to get at you guys, spark their interest to be clear about what is next. Key is to get people to freaking relax. I'll say it again. The key is to get people to freaking relax. Then you can reframe. Please explain to me XYZ. Can you explain to me a little bit more in depth about this one thing? Something jumped out to me when you were speaking. And forgive me here. I'm not trying to drive the conversation somewhere else. And I would love to stay right here. But can you elaborate on what you meant by this? See how I did? That didn't trigger their emotions, did it? Or their ego. Can you explain for my listeners? See my point? That's a reframe. Future framing or future pacing. Taking a couple steps ahead of them allows them enough time in their mind and knowing where you're driving the conversation. So that way they can start getting to the point where they understand, okay, this guy likes to talk about this. This is for the listeners. He mentioned this. I'm like, hey, I want you to think about this one thing before we move forward. Let me frame it for my listeners real quick and I'll frame it. So now they're already thinking about the answer to this one question. See my point? That gets them to think. That way you don't have a lot of that dead air in the conversation. There are specific techniques you can use for captivation, right? These include like tapping into the pain or pleasure points of another individual, appeal to their innate selfishness, demonstrate importance through contrast. Why is that important? Because it's always important. What they want to talk about is important, yes, but how can you make it to the point to where it's interesting for everybody else? Empathizing value tangibly, like focusing on the beginning and the end, major loopbacks, a visual metaphor. Analogies are so vital. Wow. Especially with someone like myself that, I guess you say, moves pretty quickly in a conversation. Using an analogy takes the emotions right out of that conversation. Now they're not going to feel a certain way. I will use an analogy talking about them, and they don't even know that I'm talking about them. Does that make sense? I'm not trying to play the Jedi mind trick on them, but this is not for them. This is not for me. This is for my listeners. That is my number one goal for my show. I want to provide my listeners that tune in. That's my moral obligation. Does that make sense? Yes, yes. If you strike an emotional chord, you have to create an environment that they are safe and you've been there before to be open. I made some of the, I don't even want to say their names because I want to name drop. I made some of the guests that came onto my show start crying, not on purpose, but I created an environment for them to feel safe, to be open to speaking about certain things. This all making sense. Yes, yes. Who's following me today? Everyone likes this. All right, no? It's like Chris is just talking shit. Whoever controls the framing, right, is them. Whoever controls the framing controls the conversation. If I went on the Larry King, rest in peace, one of the best interviewers I've ever seen in my life, passed away this past year. If I went on his show, that is his show. If he came on to my show, I don't care if he's Larry King or Michael Jordan. This is my show. Make sense? They'll take the conversation over, especially if they're really skilled. if they take control of the conversation and start asking questions, I think it was Nina, well, I was on Nina's show. She was like, this is not your show, Chris. She was pretty much letting me know, stop asking questions. I'm here. You're in a hot seat, sir. See my point? So you have to make sure you're holding your space and they know the line. Think of framing as gaining control, leverage. Framing means their narrative on what's happening. Like, so if what's happening on their side, it's different for every single person because every single person has different experiences in life. Yes, yes. It's all about how well you paint the overall picture. So say, for instance, we're all in the same room and watch a video. You're watching this. And every person in a room is seeing it and hearing the same things. Yes? Correct? But what's funny is that every person in that room watching and hearing the same thing is having a different feeling or emotion from what they're experiencing. Write this down. Rapport is power. So long as you stay in rapport, you can still ask the what, when, why, how questions to draw it from the listeners. Yes, yes. Everyone understand? Yes? So what does this mean overall, do you think? I'll wait. Wait, next chat box. What do you think this means overall? Oops, I'm on mute. Oops, hit the wrong button. It's one of my favorite interviews going on Nina Perez's show. But I love being on other shows and being around skilled interviewers that don't just take what I'm saying lightly. They really want to, for me to share more. And it's kind of like having a fire and taking some leaves and dumping it already on a lit fire. You just keep the fire moving. And you do that through rapport to make sure the other person knows that you're in sync on what they want to talk about. An in sync person is going to be totally responsive to you. I'll prove it to you. You ever go into a bar? Go into a bar, sit at the end of the bar, and start picking up a glass the same way. If you start noticing, people that are a little bit more in sync to your energy level, that's why it's important, are going to start doing the same thing over and over and over. Same thing on a conversation. If I put my hands up like this, there's a good chance I'm going to put their hands up at some point. And that lets me know, as is using body language, they're pretty much in sync on what I'm talking about because they're also in sync with my energy level. Connection, that spark. Most people only get into rapport with people who are like themselves. That means they have a limited world, scarcity mindset. I can pick up on this coming from left field. I'm telling you. Relationship of responsiveness is important to guiding the conversation, mirroring and matching. Yes, yes. The interviewer or the interview person is, you can be overly sensitive to reactions by the other person. If they're overly sensitive, take a step back and explain to them why you're asking the damn question. That's all you need to do. Take advantage of this. That will easily steer the conversation where you're not beating around a damn bush. That is the most obvious thing that I see when people beat around the bush at a question. I'm like, just ask me the damn question. So you basically, what you're asking me is this. And using that power of silence, you can hold someone's attention with silence and make them go on and on and on and on. And they never stop talking. I'll have certain people when they come onto the show, they're really not that talkative. But they're just chatting it up when I'm having a conversation because I don't get really uncomfortable in that dead air, but I have the outcome in mind and I share it with them. There are times when they say, I don't want to say any more about this topic. I can't really talk about this. But what can you talk about? See my point? It's really easy to ask questions if you're just naturally curious. So how curious can you be with the other individual? You're supposed to fill that time with talk. But there's no law that you can't stop every once in a while and let that strategic silence fall and go, I don't know. Like, let's do a recap here. So if I did a recap here, like, what would you tell me? What would you tell me overall? Could you tell me anything more? And I'm going to give you a science behind having really impactful conversations. You might want to grab a piece of paper and pen. Ready? Start with connecting questions. How can you personally connect with the other in the person? The background questions from you connecting, not just background questions that stem off those connecting questions. And then ask diagnostic questions. What, when, why, how, who, right? Who? Then you're asking solution questions to a potential problem right? That you obviously expose, but not a potential problem for that person, for your listeners. Makes sense. The problem doesn't rely with them. How can they solve it from their zone of genius? For your listeners. I keep saying this over and over and over. I keep driving this. It's for your listeners. This isn't about you. This is about them. Then you ask the consequence question for the listener. From Jack, you mentioned that could be a potential solution for another individual. If they did not take your advice, what are some consequences from your frame of mind and from your experience? What? I've been on a lot of shows and no one ever asked me that consequent question because they just assume. You're assuming they know. They don't know. That's why they're tuning in. Then you ask, what would be the best way of going about handling that in this current situation if they didn't cover it? Then you ask the committing question. How would they commit to it to take action from what you're saying? What are some problems that might potentially arise that would stop someone if they didn't have enough skills in this pertaining area? This is all making sense. Yes, yes. Who's enjoying this? Yes, I am a nightmare, right? When it comes to questioning. But you ask, I always ask a lot of open-ended questions because it gets them to speak more than I'm actually talking. When I'm talking, all I'm doing is framing. That's all I'm doing is framing. Don't ever assume anything and always ask them to put in their own words. Look for patterns of behavior. That's a whole other freaking topic. Then you can start picking up on certain things that most people do not see. Provide clarity and giving a lot of feedback. Choose your words wisely. Less is more in this situation. Tone is everything. What is tonality? Google. Tonality is key. Matching tones, raising it a couple decimal levels, lowering it, getting a little serious. Always end with every encounter positive. And that includes every touch point. I go from I'll actually expose negative. And before I move off that topic, I will bring up a positive outlook to that problem. Does that make sense? Yes, yes. Remember, three conversations. What are these three conversations? And I hope you wrote this down. Number one, point of view conversation that is going on in your mind as I'm speaking to you right now. There's an emotional conversation going on in your mind right now. And last but not least, an egotistical conversation, because ego is the number one thing that drives people to do something or do not do something. Makes sense? Yes, yes. I hope everyone enjoyed today's rant talking about the art of questioning, the art of interviews, the art of whatever the hell you want to call. I call it the art of communication. If you really want to have a dope show, don't sound like every other podcaster. Please, please be yourself. Be authentic. That is one thing that I love about Nina's show. She is 100% authentic, 100%. And there's a lot of times that she doesn't even know where she's going to go with the conversation. She'll be like, I don't know. We're just going to have a dope there. You know, there she is right there. I watch her on her lives and she's killing it. She's talking to her damn self. I'm like, damn, I thought I met someone that likes to talk about things as much as I do. Just turn the lights on. I'm ready to go. So I hope everyone enjoyed this. Tomorrow, Russ Johns, 2 p.m. He's going to give his, man, I don't even know how to really frame that part. He's forgotten more than I ever know when it comes to interviews, like straight up. Wednesday, Angelo. Thursday, Jason and Zach. Share this content to as many people as you can, and WinJack 2.0 is now live. All the logins will be coming to the current community members, and if you're watching this and I've interviewed you on the Win-Win Effect, we're comping you access to the community, so don't ask. I'm just going to give it to you, right? So, guys, be well, be you, be great. Peace out, much love and happiness, and I will see you tomorrow on Russ Johns Live. Peace out, guys.
Podcast is brought to you by WinJack Studios. We are an all-in-one educational platform for podcasters that revolutionizes how hosts leverage content to increase engagement with listeners, downloads, and income. We come together to focus on community, collaboration, and collective impact. For more information on how you can interact directly with our hosts, access exclusive live content with offers you can't get anywhere else from our official partners, join our purpose-driven community by visiting www.winject.com. If you're ready to build a career doing what you love, then we're ready to see you there.